Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders. I'm your host, Kyle, and joining me today is Tyson Trades. Our paths first crossed when I saw Zen mention that he'd considered starting his own podcast. And after looking through your post history, dude, you have all the characteristics that I look for in a good guest. So I guess it's not all complete shit over there on Twitter, and you should all give him a follow at Tyson Trades. That's TYZENTRADES. Before we kick things off, just want to remind everyone, if you have any suggestions, corrections, or questions for future guests, you can send them to us. Do that via email at bandoftraderspodcast@gmail.com, or you can join the free Discord server, or just DM me on Twitter at financialinept1. We got all that stuff out of the way. Zen, how you doing, man?
Doing great. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very often you see someone say that, or even volunteer. I threw out the suggestion. I was kind of surprised to see you take me up on it. Most of the time, people don't follow through on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love talking trading, you know, with anybody that'll listen to me. So, happy to talk about it.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about podcasting, but first I want to get to know you. So if you want to tell us, kind of how you got your start, like what you like to trade, anything you want to tell us about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So I started trading back in March of 2020, like a lot of people, I'm sure, did.
Yeah.
Really had no idea about the financial markets or anything. I kind of had planned to start investing when I was 25 and kind of build from there. Had just graduated from college, so it was kind of beginning of COVID and really wasn't doing much. So I had a little bit of money in the bank, so I threw it in a Robinhood. I remember a friend.
Oh, God.
Actually, my friend had DM'd me and he said, hey, like the stock market's crashing, we should buy all these blue chip stocks, like let's buy a Cracker Barrel or something, you know. And so I look back on it laughing now, but I mean he was right. I mean, right, that was the time to buy. But I remember I put like $1,000 in just to test the waters, and I bought this one mortgage REIT that's still trading today. I think it's ticker MFA. And I remember it had tanked from like $8 to like 30 cents or something overnight. Jeez. So I didn't buy it at the time. I just watched it and I saw it go from like 30 cents to $1.20. And so it went to $1.20 and I was like, oh, it's gonna go right back to $8. So I remember buying it And and the next day it gaps up to 240 and I made like $1,000 and I was thinking, oh my God, this is crazy. Like,
so easy, right? Again? Yeah.
It's so easy. Yeah. So naturally I started bag holding and it came back and retraced and kind of came back to my average. And I remember seeing, a lot of posts on StockTwits because I really didn't really know where to go. And so went on StockTwits, kind of found my way on there, found a great trader named Brad Mullins, who was one of the head honchos at Atlas at the time. He actually split off and did his own thing eventually. So started following him, kind of got attached to the Atlas community when it was really small. It was like 10,000 people, met a lot of great people in there. Eventually started branching out from there, swing trading small caps. And moved over to options after I did that. Had a fair amount of success generally my first couple years. Didn't really have too much success trading options, but really found a lot of success scalping shares. So last year, I actually went full-time trying trading. Didn't work out for me just because of a couple mistakes that I've made personally on my own trading and just kind of trying to rush the process, which I can definitely get into later.
Well, yeah, that was one of the posts that I think I saw that I really definitely wanted to dig into, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, I know. But had a lot of success last year. Early, I was trading Tesla pretty much every single day when it had its monster bull run from like $100 to $300. I was trading that every single day, was doing very, very well for myself. Tried the full-time thing. Didn't work out for me, but I've been picking myself back up recently these last few months. Really been doing things the right way and, you know, kind of balancing that with everything else that's going on in my life now. And I've taken a very healthy approach to it since I kind of rebalanced everything. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I've been in the game for like 5 years, 4 or 5 years now, and just thankful for the journey and the lessons so far.
Mostly trading stocks then these days? Yeah, no options, no futures, Forex or any of that?
Yeah, I've dabbled in futures a little bit. I mean, it's not my cup of tea personally. I mean, I'm somebody that, I don't know, I never really like got the hang of futures, I think. And I think that kind of with my style and how I like to trade momentum, it's a lot better for me to trade individual stocks. And so for my style, at least, just found that it works best on shares. And I have traded some options. I actually restarted on an options account, a very, very small cash account that I grew pretty substantially to restart myself and really get refocus on discipline and A-plus setups and everything like that. So have dabbled, but not too much in terms of options.
Gotcha. Can we go back to the Atlas thing? You said you were part of that group, but when it was smaller, did you end up leaving before all the craziness happened over there? Or what happened with that? Like, what was your experience there?
Yeah, so I joined when it was about 10,000 people, and this is right before it really blew up. It really was a great spot before everything, of course, happened with the fallout from that.
Yeah,
they would do GoFundMes for members. I remember there was a guy who had passed away from the server that was a pretty, you know, well known guy in the community, and those guys did a whole fundraiser for him and his family and everything. So it actually did used to be a really tight knit community, and met a lot of great people that I'm still friends with today from there. Shout out Booch, shout out Mosby if you guys are listening.
Booch, love Booch.
Booch is my guy for sure. But I met a lot of great people there. I actually left because I saw what was becoming and left in about, I think it was like March of 2021. So I was there for about a year.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like you almost have to have a plan in place to grow. Like, you can't experience that kind of exponential growth as a community and not have, you know, temptation to misuse that. I think even I'd struggle with that.
Yeah, I think greed is something that, you know, it takes hold of all of us eventually. And it's just how you manage it that really matters, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Brad Mullins, then, is he on Twitter or StockTwits? Does he have a profile I can link?
Yeah, Mullins Momentum is his Twitter. He's not really active too much anymore. I think he went into business for himself as a financial advisor. But he's a great guy, great trader. Really have nothing but the utmost respect for him. And he saw what Atlas was becoming too. And so he actually left as well to start his own room, which I followed because he was kind of the first guy that I'd seen on FinTwit. So, he's a terrific person.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. Well, let's go back to the what you were talking about earlier there with the testing out the full-time trading. And I think it was in February 2024, you posted a message to the world. And man, I got to say, it took a lot of humility to kind of share that. You want to talk me through like the lead up to that post? Like how long had you been trying to make it full-time? And what were like some of the big hurdles that you had trouble getting over?
Yeah, sure. So I went full time in May of 2022 or 2023. Mm-hmm. Really had, like I said, I've been doing very well on Tesla, and really had started to see, you know, some of the pitfalls that would plague me later on. Really, my big issue with it was risk management. I really was, as a scalper, was booking a lot of really nice days, but you know, my red days tended to be, you know, two to three times as big as my winners. And so, yep. You know, for example, I always tell people about how my first month, you know, trying full time, I was green, I think, you know, and nice green, probably, you know, 3/4 of the month, but I had a slightly red month because I had those couple days where I just, you know, couldn't pull myself away from the monitors. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was a continuing theme for me just continually with my trading. And eventually, you know, my trading slipped just because I started to get more emotional. I started to size into positions that I had no business sizing into and trying to force things. And, you know, it really is, you know, kind of a, like something everybody's been through, but I think it's a lot different when you're, you know, that is your paycheck. To think about. And so it really took hold of me emotionally. It really took over my mental kind of game, I guess. So, you know, in terms of that was all I would think about. You know, if I would have a bad day, I would sit there and
stew on it
and stew. Yeah. Yep. For every day. Or not every day, but you know, on those days.
Yeah. I know exactly the feeling you're talking about.
And so, you know, thinking about the money and just, and everything that happened, it just gradually took a toll on me. And you know, I kind of made the decision to, you know, go back to work, and because I knew I could do this, it's just that I needed to really, you know, refocus and recommit to discipline and just change a lot of things in my life to where, you know, I to where I could approach this in a healthy manner, and you know, without the emotion of needing the money and involved in it. And so I remember sitting there, I was playing like Call of Duty or something, and I thought, you know what, it's been on my mind, I may as well just get it off my conscience. Mm-hmm. Or conscious. I made the post. You know, I'm somebody that really, you know, I like to share my journey on Twitter generally, because I think there's a lot of people on Twitter that don't talk about the pitfalls of trading.
God, I know, right?
It's breath of fresh air for me to be able to at least, you know, disclose my journey and you know, be honest and forthcoming with kind of everything. Because I know that it's going to feel even better to look back on, you know, what I call my journal with trading and see, hey, you know, like you've been through this, you've made it through that, and now you're succeeding. And I know that time is coming. You know, I've really had a great couple months
May. Yeah.
But I'm just very thankful for the lessons and everything that trading has taught me generally about myself, and it's made me better as a result. And that's kind of probably a run-on sentence, but run-on thought. But no, it's been great. I'm very thankful for everything I've learned so far.
It's I hear young. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at myself because I'm reliving some emotions as you're speaking of. You know, like the expectations and like the feelings of letting the emotions kind of take over your trading. Like I've actually just recently gone through that and starting to come out the other side of it. Like without journaling though, that's something I don't think I'd ever have caught or been aware to, or, you know, had the openness to be able to see that, hey, there's a problem and I need to address it. Were you always a journaler, or is that something that you had to pick up on as you were progressing through your journey?
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought that it's important to catalog your thoughts in some manner, whether it be a private Discord server or, mm-hmm. you know, Twitter, like I'm doing it publicly. But, you know, I think it is important because you need to have like those things you can look back on to say, hey, I've really grown in this area, grown in that area. You know, my selection has really improved, you know, whether it be journaling individual trades, whether it be, you know, just kind of categorizing your thoughts generally. Mm-hmm. I think it's super important to do. And I think it's helped me a lot too, just to kind of see my progress and, you know, comparing my ideas, you know, from 2020 to today, where all I would do is I was that guy that used to call out in the trader chat and be like, oh, this stock's at VWAP without knowing what it meant. So
right. we've all done that.
I think we've all been there where it's like, you're just kind of saying shit and you don't really know what you're talking about. But
I mean, you kind of have to, though. Like, it's the only way to get comfortable, like, speaking up and expressing your ideas. And if you can't do that in a public environment, you're never going to be able to, you know, honestly assess them yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I get the shit of people being like, oh, well, like show your position, like do this, like, oh, I'm sure you scaled out right at high a day, like you said here. And, you know, for me, it's like, if I'm tweeting about it, I'm probably in a position, you know, I've seen right. too many people flex like calls about like, oh, well, I tweeted about this 6 months ago and now I'm, and right. look what it did. It's like, okay, well, okay, right. are you in a position or yeah, are you just talking shit, you know? So
no, that's, it's that, funny. Yeah. That's just ego feeding, right?
Yeah, exactly. I tweeted about it's what, June 12th here today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it was like April 29th. I tweeted that I was watching Bitcoin, I was watching weed, and I was watching Tesla. And then what else did I say? China.
Yeah.
Since then, China's ripped, Bitcoin's ripped, weed's ripped. And I just exited like a 80% options trade on Tesla from the lows yesterday. So, I mean, like if I'm not tweeting about it, I'm not trading it. So
I have noticed you posted some bangers on there. I think there's one you posted the other day that I actually used to trade, FCell. I think it was on your shit list.
Oh, that one.
I saw that volume. I was like, oh damn, that does look interesting.
I like playing those turds. It's one thing I picked up from the room that I'm in. Just higher ADR names, so average daily range, and just mm-hmm. you know, whenever you do have a smaller account. Yeah, I think it's important to really prioritize the names that have the most range, just because those are gonna be the names you build your accounts on. So it's important to me, at least.
Do you have to do anything to try to manage the excessive volatility that comes with those types of names?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, typically just making sure you're taking, you know, proper entries. So, you know, for me, I'm trying to play breakouts on those names, just because if you have a really tight name that's been, you know, sitting on the daily in a higher low for a while, or on a rising moving average on the daily, mm-hmm. You know, that's typically what I'm looking for. And I want to see expansion of that range. And so typically I'm taking the breakout on those names and putting stop at like low of day or like low of the opening range. Mm-hmm. Just because typically, you know, the idea is on those names, like, you know, for example, a Coinbase, if you're that the ADR on that is like 7% or something like that. So it moves the average is 7% every day. You know, if you're putting your stop at low a day and it's ripper day, you know, it's probably not going to go back to that low. So, you know, you kind of managing risk in that way and kind of holding winners, you know, the appropriate amount of time is really what I've been trying to prioritize versus just scalping and taking profits extremely quickly. But I still do a little of both, because I think it's important to have some good cash flow, but also, you know, have those ripper ideas.
Yeah, it's just the math has to work, right? You can't be taking, you know, half hour, you know, as your first take profit every time. That's going to get, you're going to go broke unless you got a really good win rate doing something
exactly.
like that.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Are there any other things that you do as far as like risk management? Do you like consistent sizing or I don't know, anything else like in particular?
Yeah, in terms of swings, I try and do like 15-20% per swing that I take. So I, you know, mm-hmm. so a one, you know, 1% risk on your account is going to be, you know, like a 7% drawdown on whatever stock. And obviously, I'm not risking that much if I'm, mm-hmm. you know, taking a position that I'm planning to hold for a couple of days or weeks. Like on an FCell, for example, I probably would have risked like low of day on you know the breakout day there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the R on that would be like 5. So if I'm risking, you know, 2% on my account,
right.
I'm trying to make 10% plus, you know, so around 5 R there. But yeah, no, I on options for me it's 20% always. You know, I've seen way too many people that just let their options positions die.
Yeah,
and I think that if you're getting and I think if you're swinging monthly options, you know, if you're down 20% plus, you probably didn't get a good entry and need to reconsider the ad there. And so that's just my philosophy, though. You know, I don't want to be holding losers. You know, I'd rather just let my winners run and then reassess if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've been very risk averse in terms of how I've been doing things now versus before. Like before, I was revenge trading, right. Scalping, you know, taking things on margin, like excessive margin, trying to guess that I was, you know, pretty much guess that I was right. And,
right.
And trying to prove to myself that I was right on some ideas. And so it's, and so definitely grown a lot in that aspect. And I think that's why my trading has turned around.
Well, I think one of the huge things that you did, and you, this is what was in your May post, about execution being your dopamine driver in trading, like getting that switch from the celebration of the P&L to the celebration of the execution. It's, I think, one of the hardest things to do in trading. I'm curious how you were able to accomplish that transition.
Yeah. So, I mean, I should start out by just saying the market humbled me, you know, super hard whenever I did fail with full time. And I really had to reassess. And I remember just sitting there and thinking, like, how are you going to pick yourself back up from this, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is next? Because it's really hard when you fail. I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, you failed this time. You haven't failed.
This right? time, yeah. Yeah. I mean, overall, yeah. I mean, I guess I've still done very well, but, you know, just failing that venture, specifically was difficult for me. And so I really had to reassess and understand, like, you can't keep doing the same shit over and over, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so I really had to pick myself back up and think, hey, you know, what do you have to do differently to be successful here? You know, what were you doing that made you successful before? What selection was really, you know, giving you the best winners, the best R on your trades, you know,
mm-hmm.
And everything, you know, along those lines. And so I really thought about that, and I decided to go to a cash account, actually. I started Robinhood with a pretty small amount of money that I was okay with losing, and I started just taking A-plus entries over and over and over again and really just priding myself on execution and trying to manage my risk like a champ, making that the priority and the centerpiece of my trading versus, you know, needing to make money and push the pedal to the metal. And for that reason, you know, really saw some great growth in that account.
Not just the account, but yourself.
Yeah. And I think the discipline of that is crucial. And I would recommend to anybody that's listening to this and struggling and trying to push the pace every day and getting, you know, stuffed, for lack of a better word, I would suggest, you know, going to a cash account and really trying to, you know, focus, you know, even if it's just one, two shares, just focus mm-hmm. your execution. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you make your dopamine rush about your execution and how well you're actually trading versus the dollars that are coming in, the dollars will come in eventually. It's just and then, you know, at a certain point, your account will start to snowball, and you'll say, "Wow, like, you know, this 10% position that was my whole account, you know, however many months ago, is now a 10% position."
Right.
You know, so it's and that's the point I got to with my cash account. So I was just like, "Okay, this is the way to go." And you know, since then, I've been very selective with my entries. I got back on margin recently, because I felt that I was ready for it again. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, yesterday, for example, took like, I think, two trades on Apple and Tesla, and just, they were A-plus, you know, got out of the market and enjoyed my day. So, I mean, it's, I think it's all about discipline, and the more you can enforce that in your regular life, as well as your trading, the better off you're going to be in the long run.
Yeah. I like that. I'm not a big fan of discipline personally, but that's just because I hate discipline, but but I get it. I mean, there's different ways you can go about affecting that discipline. Like for me, I have to understand the reasonings behind it. I can't just do it because I have to do it, you know? So I have to like sit down and come up with the plan and be like, okay, this is why this makes sense. This is why we're going to try it. These are the results we expect to see. And we'll try it and we'll see if we see those results. And then I can do it.
Yeah, I think trading generally is a big game of experimentation.
Yeah,
and everybody has their own thing that they're good at, you know. And that's kind of was my idea for my podcast. If I was going to start one, was just kind of understanding like what different people are great at, and kind of having them open up and to not their edge necessarily, but like the mindset of how they approach the markets.
Right.
And I think it's something that's different with everybody. But I always tell people that ask me, you know, questions or for advice, that, you know, that your edge has to be like a melting pot of everybody else's stuff. You know, you're going to pick up bits and pieces from from every trader that you talk to, and you know, it's just a matter of you synthesizing those to, you know, find what works for you, you know.
I mean, it's almost all the same stuff, right? Like volume profile, fair value gaps, like all these things are kind of looking at similar stuff. It's just, can you conceptualize what's happening with the way that you put the information together? And other people have different ways of putting it together and visualizing it. And there may be something that, you know, works for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that a lot of people tend to
overcomplicate.
Yeah, right? Overcomplicate it. And I think, but I think also it's some people try and oversimplify it to the end that they try and just copy completely what somebody else is doing. And you can't do that, unfortunately, I think, in trading, just because the way that I look at the market is going to be completely different from the way that you're looking at the market. Like, I remember I was in a Discord server one time, and I said that I was taking a trade on Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been out of the trade and probably taken, you know, one or two more scalps at that point. And this guy at me, like, I think it was like an hour or two later, like, are we still in this? And I was like, we, man, like, who's we? Like, this is, it's your money, man. You know, yeah. This isn't a alert service. Like, you know, I'm just posting my ideas, bro. You know, so it's funny.
Yeah. It's a funny thing. Like, I think we've all been at that point where we didn't want to have the responsibility of our own trading, where it's just easier, I think, to push that off onto somebody else. But man, if you want to actually learn how to do it, following somebody saying buy here, sell here is not the way to go about it.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, the thing that you have to do to really take the next step in this is to, you know, become comfortable with your ideas and really, you know, I guess generally just put yourself in uncomfortable positions in the market. I mean, like, obviously good entries are typically not going to be the most comfortable ones. And until you get, you know, your system and understand kind of what that looks like for you, you know, maybe you're a guy that buys dips, maybe you're a guy that plays breakouts. But yeah, I think it's really about just putting yourself in the positions that you feel, you know, the most in control of where you're at in the market. You know, you want, but that's going to be uncomfortable at first. And I think that, you know, a lot of people don't want to, like you said, have that decision making, power and feel the need to try and delegate it to somebody else. And so that's why you see all the paid rooms on Twitter and you see all the people that want their hand held. And
right.
Unfortunately, the reason why, I mean, there's a reason why that 95% of people or whatever it is, you know, don't make it in trading. And, you know, most people don't want to, you know, go through the hard, uncomfortable parts. So,
well, I mean, you've been in the working world, right? I mean,
yeah,
we've all had the shitty managers, I think, or supervisors.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But if you really think about it, like, all of the crappy people you've ever had to work for all have issues with humility or self-confidence. And I think that's just a very large percentage of the population that has a very hard time looking at themselves honestly and being able to say, like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. You know, I think that to be successful in trading, you do have to be, you know, humble and be able to recognize your faults. And that was something that I fell into personally. You know, I got extremely overconfident with how well I was doing at the beginning of last year. And it really caused me to reflect and think about, like, hey, like, do you have to change yourself fundamentally as a person if you want to make it, you know, in this? Because I remember I was posting, you know, $2,000 days on Twitter, you know, constantly. And, you know, I was having my entire feed gas me up and be like, oh, like, you're doing great, right, blah, blah, blah. And that gets addicting. I think Twitter generally can start to pull people in to that kind of, like, almost like needing to prove yourself to everyone. And, you know, the sooner you can get away from that, the better off you'll be. Cause it's like, you know, I always made the comparison that, like, the Weevil cards are kind of, I feel like, the worst thing to happen to Twitter, just because it's right. Like,
I've noticed those yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, so with options, like, and shares generally on Weevil, it lets you show kind of your percentage gains on a ticker. And I remember just everybody would be posting their Weevil cards of, like, oh, I'm up 1,000% on this. And you just feel that you know, like, you're not doing enough,
right,
or everything. Yeah. And I think the, you have to just shut out the noise and accept that you're on your own path and on your own place in your journey versus everybody else. And once you accept that and you're comfortable with the pace that you're growing, it gets exponentially better because you're not trying to prove yourself to anybody.
Or to yourself.
Yeah.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Okay, so the podcast idea, dude, you got to tell me more about this. I love that idea of getting, you know, traders on there talking about their edge, or at least like their, like, I guess what they're good at, like, right? What makes them them?
Yeah, so I was kind of thinking of different names that I could use for it, and I kind of came up with the name Flow State Podcast, and I was thinking about not just limiting it to trading, but also kind of bringing that into, you know, business owners, you know, different people, like starting with trading, but also, you know, expanding that to people that are, you know, generally successful, whether they built businesses, whether they're, you know, professional, or not, I probably won't give professional athletes, on there, but, you know, right. athletes or people of that nature that just have intense drive for what they do. Cause I can't tell you the amount of times that I've, you know, been up at 2 o'clock in the morning looking at charts, you know, been, you know, grinding generally. And I know people, you know, that succeed in this, you know, just based on everybody that I've known in trading has been there too, in terms of, you know, the amount of time and effort that they put into it and the flow state that you get into when you're trading well is something that I think everybody can relate to. It's just when you're seeing the market so well, like you just know like what's going to happen next before it happens. I think everybody's been there.
Yep.
It's something that we all experience. And so everybody gets to that point in a different way, whether it be, you know, if you're a swing trader, just seeing sectors broadly and understanding what's moving well, if you're scalping, you know, seeing the market intraday, looking at like bid ask on level two, understanding, you know, what's happening there, looking at the tape, you know, just everybody has their own niche that they feel the most comfortable in and just get into those unstoppable modes. And so, or if it's, you know, a business owner that's, you know, grinded for years getting his business off the ground and has spent those, you know, 2 to 4 AM nights, you know, getting things off the ground and working their butt off. I think everybody has a story to tell, and that's kind of the inspiration for that.
Dude, I love it, man. If you need help finding guests or putting this thing together, if you do decide to pursue it, man, I'd love to help you out any way I can.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that.
I mean, man, that's just such a good idea. It's different too. That's what the other thing I like about it. There's just, I don't know, there's just so much out there that's almost just feels like people care more about looking good than providing anything that's actually useful to the people listening, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that, you know, it's Twitter has become a like, look at me type space now. And, you know, I remember back in 2020-ish, it was kind of like that, but I mean, there was a lot more community involved in it. And, you know, I think that everybody automatically assumes that you're trying to charge people for money nowadays. I know, right? And I mean, I have thought about doing tutoring eventually once I'm, you know, very successful in this, just to make some extra money. And I mean, because who doesn't like money, right? But I think that it needs to be from the right place, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people only look into getting in on Twitter and posting about their trading just to start a room or to, and haven't, you know, had those challenges and haven't faced those tests, you know, in this journey. And it makes them look very shallow.
yeah, no kidding.
And so it's definitely a fine line. But I completely agree. I think that it's difficult to separate, you know, the good people from the ones that are just trying to make a buck off you. So I agree.
How's Stock Twits these days? I used to hang out on there, but I haven't been in a while.
No, I haven't been on there either. I only go on there to look at like the GameStop and AMC forums because I think it's hilarious. Like, the amount of people that are just like engrossed in that whole thing and are convinced there's like some ultra short squeeze that's going to propel the stock to like 10 trillion market cap. It's so funny to me. So I just, I go on there sometimes when it's running just to laugh. And like, I made a burner account one time on there.
Oh, no.
And I posted how I was like shorting the stock, and I instantly got like 30 people on my post. It was the funniest. I was laughing so hard. So
Jesus,
they're like ravenous, man. It's hilarious.
Oh god, the AMC ones are the worst.
Yeah, no,
they started out like real cool, but then man, it just turned into a cult.
Yeah, I remember seeing it like when AMC was down like 98% from the highs or something. I remember seeing some like Twitter space, and I joined it, and this guy was talking about how like AMC was gonna brand their popcorn, put it in grocery stores, and make like billions of dollars off it every year. And I was just like, okay,
not that good.
I was like, all right, we've gone off the deep end. I need to leave this space right now. Like, I can't, like, I'm losing brain cells sitting here, you know. So,
and it's the whole situation is kind of sad, because I think a lot of people got roped into that I'm probably gonna have to learn some hard lessons.
Yeah,
and I just hope that they don't lose interest, because this is a fun space. I want more people in this.
Yeah, I like the liquidity, like, you know, like, keep it going.
So that's like the people who make fun of like the bad poker players at their games. Like, what are you doing, dude? This is your cash cow. Yeah. That's the guy you want.
Nobody's complaining about that. Yeah.
Buy him a drink. Ask him. Yeah. Let make sure he's having fun. He wants to come back.
Tell him GME's going to like a million. Like, please. You know?
Well, speaking of Twitter, then, you said there's still some good follows out there. Do you have any that you'd recommend or want to shout out that you think still providing good information?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people. Let me actually go on there real quick and give you some names here. But yeah, I have a lot of great friends on there. You know, I really do my own DD on people, just because I think that, you know, it's important to you know, understand who's providing value and who's, you know, on there to screw you.
Did you do any DD on me?
I Booch gave me all the DD I needed to know. So. He's like, this is a great podcast, you know. But
thanks,
yeah,
Booch. Too trusting, but all right.
yeah, a couple people. I'm just scrolling through here. So I should probably shout out a couple people that, you know, whose server I'm in right now. Real Simple Ariel and PeopleWish at Stonk Daddy on Twitter.
Stonk Daddy, oh, that's a great name.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hilarious. No, they're both great. They're both, you know, multi-millionaire traders, and they provide a ton of value on Twitter, mm-hmm. you know, for free, in terms of sector rotation, posting about their stocks and their setups. And I'm in their server. Their server, I guess a cheap plug, is a $250 donation to Maui mm-hmm. to get in. And it's all for a good cause, and they post a lot of their ideas in there.
What's the link for that? Is it on one of their profiles I can grab?
Yep. On PeopleWish's profile, he has his, and I can DM you the link after this, but it's a great room. I'm most active in there nowadays, just cause it's full of really hardworking traders and great people.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Christian Kolomagi too. He's a legend in the space. You know, learned a ton from his videos, you know, took like $5,000 to 100 million.
Oh wow.
So he's definitely worth following. Yeah, he's the swing trading godfather in terms of just, you know, education. A couple of my buddies that I want to shout out, definitely Snacks, a robot named Snacks on Twitter. amazing person. He's had an incredible story. You know, I really respect him. He found his own niche and he stuck with it the last couple of years and is really, really crushing it. Had an unbelievable year last year.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's pretty active. Perch Perkins, another guy that you know, really good friends with and just inspires me a ton. Bofo. He's awesome, you know.
Get your gambling picks.
Yeah, another great story there. Really, really great guy.
Yeah.
I'd say that, you know, BMAC Trades, Fizz is another one. There's just a lot of great people. And people can check out my following list too.
Oh, perfect. I'll just link that. Yeah. That'd make it way easier.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm people I follow on Twitter are people that I vouch for. It's hard to find value on Twitter nowadays, but I think that as long as you're looking for
it's there.
You can find it, you know, and so
it's there if you look for it. Yeah.
And so I really try and, you know, follow, you know, good people. Parker Trades is the last one I'll shout out. He's gotten very close with him over the past few months. Great person, great trader. So,
man, that's a good list. I'm going to have to reach out to a bunch of them. Think any of them would come on the show?
Yeah, I think so. They're all great people. You know, vouch for every one of them. I've met a lot of them in person.
That's good enough for me.
And so yeah, no, a lot of great people. I think it's just you got to know where to look. And I think that trading also, just as a tip for anybody that's, I guess, new and listening to this, is like find your circle. I mean, people.
God, right?
You know, if you find your circle of people that support you and have your back in this, I mean, that's more important than anything. I can't tell you the amount of times that I've wanted to quit this or you know, take a long break and just have people keep pushing me to be better. And so I think that's one of the biggest things.
You need those people that'll challenge you too, but won't just because you post something, they're not going to tell you good job. They'll actually critically pick it apart. You know?
Yeah. It's
like we all need one of those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I feel like traders are largely, you know, the same type of people in terms of people that are actually, you know, pushing themselves every day and actually in the trenches. Mm-hmm. Not the grifters on Twitter, but, you know, people that are actually, you know, grinding out every day. You know, just hardworking, humble.
They're not the ones posting screenshots of P&L.
Exactly. Yeah. And so those are the people you want to surround yourself with. And it's tough because there's not a lot of free rooms out there anymore. And I met most mm-hmm. of my friends in free rooms. But you can find your people on Twitter. You know, that's kind of where you want to be. So.
Yeah. We say, you know, if you don't find it with our group, find it somewhere. Cause man, everyone needs someone to talk to.
Yeah.
And you need someone that understands what you're dealing with too. You can't just talk to your friends about this. They'll stop talking to you pretty quickly.
Completely agree. Yeah.
No, nobody wants to talk about Tesla at every barbecue. Oh, God, this guy again.
Yeah, I was laughing today. Actually, in the room I was in, my only open position was Tesla, and I posted about it like four times, and everybody started roasting me like, "Oh, we got to change your name in the server to like Tesla Trades or something." Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, but yeah, no, I think it's definitely you want to be around people that can banter and also, you know, talk to you.
Yeah. About, keep you off the ledge.
Yeah, talk you off the ledge when it's necessary.
I tell you what, one of the most helpful things is just having someone to say like, "Hey, you're doing all right. You're a little quieter than usual, or you're saying some things that you don't normally say."
Yeah, and I want to shout out one more person actually, Uncle Mikey, Colorado Mike on Twitter. That guy is one of my best friends on here, and he's great. He trades the NQ and kills it. You know, he. Met him in person as well. Amazing person. I recommend people give him a follow too. I don't think he posts too much, but he's great.
So you're in, are you in Colorado?
I am. Yep.
I'm actually going to be there in like a week, next Thursday.
Hit me up.
For a family reunion. I don't know if I'll be able to. I'll be at some resort or something.
Yeah.
Get to go meet all my nieces and nephews that I haven't seen yet. Probably about 20 of them now.
It's beautiful out here, so I'm sure you'll love it.
Oh yeah, I've gone through Colorado a few times.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a couple other questions for you here then. So,
sure.
So after this experience, do you still want to start a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I love talking to people. I mean, I'll talk trading with anybody who wants to hear it. You know. It's my passion. So I just love the space. You know, and so I think that passion, you know, really drives me to want to give back and want to you know, help other people on their journey. You know, I'm certainly on my journey too, and I'll mm-hmm. never claim to be, you know, the know-it-all trader like I used to, but you know, now the mark, yeah,
I've never claimed
yeah,
that.
I mean, I think the humility, like we were talking about before, just plays a huge role in your growth and development. And once you have that, you know, that moment or series of months where you're just, you can't, you throw shit at the wall and it just can't stick anywhere. You know, there's not much else that can humble you except for yourself. And so once people turn that corner, it gets a lot easier. But yeah, I've just been, you know, very, very humbled by this experience and, you know, definitely want to help people, you know, continue to grow on their own journeys as well as my own.
What's funny is that I used to think that troubleshooting electronics, like I used to work as an electronics technician at in the steel industry, some aluminum plants too. I used to think that was one of the most humbling jobs because you could spend 12 hours trying to troubleshoot a fault and then find out it's just a stupid blown fuse that takes you, you know, 30 seconds to replace. Like that shit will humble you. But man, trading will humble you. And if it hasn't humbled you yet, it will.
And I still see people that are posting, that post like, you know, the crazy days. And like, I actually saw an example the other day in the room that I'm in of like this guy saying like, I'm going to show you guys how to trade Coinbase. Not end well for him. He actually got off break even, but it kind of reset the button for him, you know? So, I mean, the market will always humble you, I think. And whenever you get too high on yourself and, you know, think that you've figured it all out, it's the greatest teacher in the world, you know, the market's never wrong. Yeah. So.
If there's any other advice you can go back and give to yourself, what would it be?
I guess not trying to go too fast. I think that there's a saying that's like slow is smooth, smooth is fast. And, you know, I think that's probably the best advice I could have given myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I gave a lot of money away, I think, from being careless and trying to compare myself to others. And that's part of where a lot of the humility came from, is just from understanding that it's an individual journey. And, you know, you can't compare yourself to your buddies that are having, you know, 80, 100K months whenever you're still trying to get your feet under you. And I think that once you truly internalize and accept that in the moment you're exactly where you needed to be, and you continue to grow every day and make growth, you know, your purpose in this space, I think that that's where the most growth comes from.
So a follow-up question to that is, do you think you would have listened to anything you had to say?
Oh, fuck no. I think that like any of my friends are listening to this, that gave me advice over the last year, I'm an idiot. So just so
man, it's hard to learn those things without doing it for yourself. Man.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a lot of people give me advice that I just didn't want to take at the time. And it's been, you know, very humbling to, you know, have to rebuild on this journey, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'd say number one, listen to people's advice. I mean, I feel like with trading though, it's something where you have to like internalize like your own pitfalls before you can make the next step. Cause people can tell you all the time, oh, don't full size on margin into FOMC. But until you do that and you make that mistake and you see the material cost of those decisions,
that hurts.
You know, it's like it's difficult. But I'd say above all else, you know, once people learn to live in the moment and not think about the future of their trading and just focus on where they are right now, I think that's the most powerful thing you can do. Because if you're slowly making, you know, if you're green every day, you're probably going to be more green in the future every day. It's just keep doing what you're doing, continue to learn every day, try and get better, try and, you know,
don't try to press the gas pedal too soon.
Don't
impatience.
Yeah. Don't take shit on margin just because you think that you're, this is the one and you're ready to size in, you know, I mean, I think it's like we were talking about, it's all a growth experience. And, you know, the more you can internalize that it is an individual journey and, you know, and not needing to compare yourself to everybody else is the sooner that you'll see success doing this. So that's probably my number one advice.
That's funny. It's like doing this show for over 3 years now, I think. like we've talked to a lot of really, really good traders over the years, and they've given a lot of really, really good advice. But a lot of that, I wasn't even at a place where I understood what that advice even meant at that time. So like there's two sides of that. Like there's the advice that you choose to not listen to, but then there's the advice that you just don't even understand what that even means.
Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, I think people don't know what it means because they haven't been through it yet.
Exactly.
That's the,
why do I need stops?
everybody's successful in a big bull market where everybody's making money. And then,
right.
And then you have the year where things aren't as easy and all of a sudden nobody's a genius anymore, you know? And so
yep.
it's the market humbles all. And I think that, you know, that humility is what drives successful traders. You know, a lot of the most successful traders that I know and talk to every day don't post their P&L ever. You know, they mm-hmm. don't.
It's personal.
Yeah. They internalize that stuff just because it's like they understand that they're on their own journey. They're not comparing themselves to anybody. And then, you know, I think that's super important to good trading.
I think it can be discouraging to a lot of new traders too when you, I don't know. Like we talked a little bit about that, but when everyone's just posting green, then it makes you feel like you're, you know, not doing well.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's just unfortunately the construct of social media. And yeah. That's actually one thing I've done as well is I've gotten off of a lot of social media and tried mm-hmm. to limit my posting and exposure just because it is unhealthy to look at, you know, Twitter. And if you've had let's say I lost $3,000 on a day or something. And I go on Twitter and I see people posting, you know, $20,000 green days. It's like, that doesn't help you, you know?
No, it doesn't. So
I think it's important to narrow your view of kind of, you know, the space. And that's why following people that are good is so important because, you know, those people will help you understand those lessons a lot quicker and help you, you know, kind of move on. But I think that limiting social media is also probably a reason why I've turned things around just because it's helped.
Oh, really?
It's helped ground me in a decent way.
No longer looking for the screenshot in a trade.
Yeah. And I know plenty of people that still do this.
Oh,
too.
I know. And I think we've all had that moment. Like, oh, yeah. Come on, go a little bit more so I can snap the screenshot.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that just, you know, it's helped me internalize like my own trading discipline and not needing to prove it to anybody, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's helped a lot just mentally with, you know, posturing my own approach to things and yeah, I mean I obviously am still hype about my ideas if they work, like Tesla. I think I posted about it like twice over the last couple of days, but you know I've more so started to internalize just like, you know, those reactions and not needing to be upfront and boastful about everything. I think is something that is important.
Yeah, I mean celebrating is cool, but make sure you're doing it for the right reasons, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good fucking conversation today. You got anything else you want to add before we wrap this thing up?
Great question. I don't know. I just, I appreciate everybody that's listening to this and, you know, appreciate everybody's time. And, you know, just, I'd say the last thing is just like, don't give up on this. You know, it's a humbling journey that a lot of people, you know, can't stomach. But, you know, the people that make it in this,
Are
the ones that keep getting up. Yeah. I mean, I've started to think about trading a lot in terms of like being like a boxer or a fighter. Like mm-hmm. you'll get knocked out, but you're not down. You're not done, you know?
And right. I think nothing is over.
Yeah. And as somebody that's watched a lot, I mean, I'm a UFC fanatic and I've started to watch boxing a little more as well. And I mean, just the overwhelming common theme is just, you have to get up when you're on the mat, you know.
You gotta be willing to go that extra little bit.
Yeah, every trader that's posting their PR days on Twitter and everything like that has been there and mm-hmm. you know, has hit the mat and not known where to go. And I think that it's just super important to understand that like it's just one day, you know, or one trade, and that you have the ability to control your future in this. And you know, it's just about meeting the right people, putting yourself in the right frame of mind, balancing everything to have things work out, you know, in the end. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the better you can balance and the better you can, you know, accept the results, the quicker you'll probably find success. So just don't give up if you're listening to this and struggling. We've all been there. So
Man, well said, dude. I think that is going to do it for today. So I got to say thank you, Zen, here for stepping outside of your comfort zone, sharing some of those painful moments from your journey. I know that some of those are the hardest moments to reflect on, but man, there's so much good development and lessons to learn from those.
Yeah.
So give him a follow at Tizen Trades on Twitter. That's TYZENTRADES, no spaces or hyphens. And maybe if we're lucky, we'll have a new honest trading podcast to listen to soon.
Yeah, we'll see.
I hope so, man. I hope so. I could set you up with some guests too. I will be back soon, though, with another exciting episode, hopefully as impressive as Zen's rookie performance. But until that day, like and rate your favorite shows to help the world discover the things you love, and have a wonderful day.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.